you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So thankful you're here this morning. If you're a visitor, we are appreciative that you've decided to worship God together with us here at Center Chapel. We encourage you, let yourself be made known. Meet someone, fill out a visitor's card, introduce yourself to someone here at church so we can follow up with you. And again, we are very excited you're here. And we encourage you to come back this evening at 5 p.m. for our second service. Thankful for all the babies that are here. We have several little ones here today, and that's always exciting to see, and we want to be able to try to facilitate their growth, and we're appreciative for all the parents who are here with us today. We're appreciative for our college students as well, who are graduating, transitioning to a new life, and Drew, I mean, maybe you didn't know it, but you thought you were a Connolly this whole time? You're a Ferguson, man. We're excited that Drew's here with us as well. I am excited for our follow-up of Community Day. I hope that you've really taken it upon yourself to engage in the work that we're trying to do, and we're trying to reach out to the people who showed up here to Community Day. And what I don't want you to do is to get discouraged. I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to feel like your work or your job is helpless and hopeless here at church. Look, some people will not respond to the gospel, and that's not necessarily on us. We hope and we pray, and we want to do our best to make sure that someone responds properly to the gospel message that saves us. But if not, that is on them, and you have done your due diligence to try to share that message. Hebrews 10, 24, or 19 through 25, quite often a text that we use for fellowship, for gathering together, this new and living way that we have in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful text to use that the Hebrew writers have been building up, that this new life that we have under this new covenant and this new dispensation that Jesus has provided for us. He is our new high priest who we can look to as our example when we need help, when we need any assistance during this time. Wonderful section of Scripture. But I want to try to use this section, and so if that's A in our position here, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, I want to bring us over here, which has to do with evangelism. Now, you may be saying, how do these two passages relate? Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, and evangelism. Well, in the middle of that is going to be my emphasis for this lesson. And it's us and our gathering together, us meeting together. So Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, this new wonderful life with all of its beautiful blessings that we have in Jesus Christ under the new covenant, to evangelism, in the middle of that, the transition and the bridge to it is us meeting together. Our time of fellowship, our time of gathering together. I mentioned in one of our classes recently that I had taken a special drive down McCrary Lane to a field. There was a farm out there and had all these wonderful yellow flowers, and it looked just amazing. I had the kids take pictures. Well, right after that, Ezekiel and I were in the yard, and he picked up one of these flowers. Maybe you're familiar with these flowers. They're called, yeah, why are you laughing? What do you think Ezekiel did with that flower? He blew all over it. Now, how cute. I remember doing that. And then I immediately thought about that field that we passed by, and I thought, oh no. I know what happens to that. This is how this invasive weed spreads and it grows. It catches the wind and it spreads out. And this is how God uses natural things to spread out. Flowers do this. Trees do this. Did you know that the cedar tree is a pioneer tree that helps collect pollen and spreads out the seeds of other trees so it can create oak and maple and all these wonderful trees? That's how these things work. They do this naturally. And it had me thinking about the gospel message. This is how the gospel message spreads. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. I want you to see under the new covenant how the gospel message spread just like dandelions. Look at Mark chapter 1, and this will be part of our intro into the lesson. Mark chapter 1, and we'll just go through a couple of verses to show you how the word of God spreads. So Jesus is healing unclean spirits. He's healing demon-possessed people. He's doing other healings, healing people of sicknesses. Look at verse 28 of Mark chapter 1. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now look at verse 45 of this same chapter. Look at verse 45 of Mark 1. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter, so that Jesus could not openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. What is happening? The gospel message is being spread. Look at chapter 5 of Mark. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This is the spread of the gospel message. So despite Jesus' best efforts to temper the excitement, his fame, his healing spread far and wide. It was like these dandelions that scattered in the wind and took root wherever they flow, wherever they fly to. The gospel travels the same way. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 24. And I just want you to pick up on what is happening in Jesus' life and in the early church. The word of God grew and multiplied. Now look at 1349. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Now 1920, this will be our last passage, 1920. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So what we see in the ministry of Jesus and what we see in the early church is that the word of God, the gospel message, inherently possessed the power to spread, to multiply, to grow. And that's a wonderful concept. This message has the power to spread throughout all of the world, the field, and grow Christians. So why is it so hard? Why is it so challenging for us to spread the message? In essence, let me ask you this. Why don't we do this more? Can I give you a couple of reasons of what held me back? Some of the obstructions to the gospel for me? What were the reasons why I didn't take this wonderful message that had the capacity and capability to spread throughout all the world, why I didn't personally spread this news? I want to share some things that I struggled with, and maybe you can relate to some of these. And then we're going to get into an area how we can do this better, what can help us to sow the seed, how we can join the breeze instead of fighting against the wind and not spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. Here's the first one, which is already on the screen for us. I wasn't sure what to say early on. Early on, when I was a young Christian, and I was on fire for the Lord, and I wanted to save the world, and I had these dreams and these imaginations that I was going to get the gospel message out to every person I came in contact with. And then when I started doing this, I found this was the case. I wasn't sure what to say to people. I wasn't sure how to simply and coherently and intelligently share the message of Jesus Christ. So I had to reevaluate. I had to learn. I had to take an introspective look at myself, do a self-evaluation, and figure out how to do this. Figure out what to say, because I wasn't sure at that time how to say it or what information I was giving the people. We're not going to do this to you, but I want you to take this challenge upon yourself. If we were to call you forward individually and to ask you to share the gospel message with the church family here within a minute or two, could you do it? Could you give them the BCV, book, chapter, verse? Would you show them and demonstrate to them 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4? Would you then take them to passages like Matthew 28, Mark 16? Would you talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Take them to those passages and how they connect to Romans 6. Why people were baptized. Could you do that? And could you do it in a way that people can understand, where they can relate to it? See, for me, the reason that I didn't spread the good news, why I put up a wall against the wind and didn't want to spread like a dandelion, is because I wasn't sure what to say to people. Here was the next one. I had more important stuff to do. I had other stuff to do. I had other priorities. I had other obligations in my life. And so what this said about lost people and those who needed the gospel, what that said is, I have other priorities besides you. I got other stuff I have to do, or I want to do. I got other things to do. I'm too busy for you. I don't have time. My schedule's too filled. And I got things that I need to follow up on. And what happens is, when we have other stuff to do, when we have other priorities, then we stop caring. We stop praying. We don't have this deep concern for people who are lost. They become a low priority. And then we end up not having any friends or connections or relationships or associations with people who are lost. Here's another challenge for us. When is the last time you had someone to eat at your home who wasn't a Christian? When was the last time you had someone over to your home and you ate with them and they weren't Christians and they didn't know Jesus Christ? Or you got other stuff to do? Here was another one. I was scared. Fear. Fear can be a great hindrance and an obstruction to the gospel message. Now, what was I afraid of? I was afraid people would think I was strange. I was afraid, honestly, that my friends would think I wasn't cool anymore. Or maybe I wouldn't be invited to play on the basketball team or join them in any affiliation because they would think I was weird. So I was scared of what they would think about me. I was afraid that they would laugh at me, they would mock me, or they just wouldn't like me any longer. I was afraid this with my friends, with my neighbors, and also with certain family members. I had part of my family that was thrilled for me and very excited. And then I had other people in my family who I love dearly, who were confused, who were hurt, in essence, that I left allegiance to them and gave allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were upset about that. And it hurt me. And I was scared of what they would think. I wanted them to know that, no, it's still me. I'm still cool. We can still have this relationship. I was scared of what they would think about me, so I didn't share the gospel with them. I All of this leads to this, and this is part of our hindrance of why we don't share the good news about Jesus Christ. We don't care about lost people. I had no heart. I had no compassion for people who were lost. And part of that was because I had forgotten that Jesus Christ had saved me. Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And here's a reminder that we need of what we've been saved out of and what we've been saved from. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Here it is. In flaming fire, verse 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, verse 9, shall all be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's eternal separation from the creator of the universe, the one who died for you on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It's eternal separation from him. That's what God saved us from. That's what he saved me from. And so when you look into the lives of people who are lost, who don't know God, and you know they've confessed they haven't obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're lost. Do you have a heart for them? Are you moved with compassion to help them? If you have no heart for a person, you will not share the gospel message, because this is what saves them from that future punishment. This is how we get from Hebrews 10:19-25 over to evangelism. Because the way in which we can change all of these failures, we help each other. We help each other. This is part of the reason why we gather together. This is part of the reason why we need our Christian brothers and sisters so we can gain strength, so we can learn to be better, so we can learn to be different, so we can get encouragement, so that we can become more faithful to Jesus Christ. This is why we come together, so we can overcome these things. We can overcome not knowing what to say. We can overcome having other priorities and having other things to do. We can overcome fear and being scared. We can overcome having no heart, no compassion, no concern for those who are lost. Well, how is that the case? Well, when you come together with other Christians, then you get to learn what to say. No longer you're a person that says, you know what, I'm not sure what to tell people. Well, we learn from other people what to say. We see other Christians do it, other mature, seasoned Christians, on how they evangelize, how they reach the lost, and how they share the gospel. And if you're in a Bible class, hopefully you're learning how to do that as well. You see from other Christians by watching them how they set priorities in their life. What's the most important thing in a person's life? You're going to see them live it out. You're going to see it revealed in their actions and their choices that they make. Is the gospel that important to people? What you're going to learn is you're going to learn how to overcome being scared with a community of God-fearers. Not people who fear man, not people who fear friends or family, but people who fear God first. So no longer you're scared of people rejecting you or not becoming friends with you. Lastly, you're going to see other people who have a great concern and a heart for the lost. So you can gain a heart for those who are facing eternal separation from God and destruction. You can gain true compassion for them. So when we gather together with fellow believers, we remember and we cultivate what our purpose is. We are to go out into the world, share the good news about Jesus, make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the message that we're taking to the world. And now we have confidence and we've learned from each other how we can do that better so that there are no obstructions, there's no hindrances. so that we'll want to do this more and more. And this is what Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 tells us. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, in this section of this new life that we have together in Jesus Christ. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day are we expecting to come? It's the day of judgment, the day of destruction. So before that day comes, when we meet together, we're stirring one another up to love and good works. What is the best work in this community that we can do? Share the gospel. Share the truth about Jesus Christ. Are we helping to cultivate that type of gathering here? Are we helping to nurture people to go and share the gospel message? We're better together. And when we start with this premise, that when we come together, we're better people for it. And often we hear it said by one of our elders when they pray that it was good for us to be here. Well, why was it good for us to be here? Because we've become better for it. We're better, stronger people for having met together. That's the purpose of our gathering. So what are some ways that we can become better together? Here's four quick ones that I want to leave with you. And you can make this list longer. You can think of passages to add to this. But when we come together, we learn to pray together. And what does prayer do for us? If you're praying for the lost, then what is that going to help you to think about when you go out into the community? Lost people, because it's on your mind. You've been thinking about it. And this is what we see the early church do in Acts chapter 4. They come together after there's a crisis situation. They come together and they pray for boldness to speak the message of Jesus Christ with confidence, with boldness. They came together and they prayed together. That's what we see the early church doing, and that's what we need to emphasize when we come together. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I want to give you one more quick one to think about. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We used this in one of our recent lessons, so just an extension of that. Because we touched on the metaphors that are used to represent the Christian life. Well, as Paul is continuing, look what he does next. In verses 8 through 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Let me ask you a question. In verse 8, does Timothy not know this? Does Timothy not know this? Timothy is a servant, he's a preacher, he's an evangelist, he's a leading figure in the early church. Does he not know that Jesus Christ was dead, buried, and raised, and according to the seed of David? Does he not know these things? Why would Paul say, remember this? You know why? Because when we come together, we need reminders of what the gospel message is, what it means, and how we carry it forth. We need these reminders of one another to share this message, the message of salvation. Sometimes if we don't share it enough, or if you have a church family who fails to cover an exhaustive study of what the gospel is, then you're going to have a community who stops spreading that. We need these reminders. We need these reminders weekly. Sometimes we need these reminders daily. If I can remember that Jesus Christ sacrificed so much for me, and I can recall this great love that he had, maybe I can extend that forth. Maybe I'll be willing to share that message with other people. Two more, we end up growing together. When we come together, we're trying to look more like Christ together. And when we fail to do that, we make corrections. We rebuke one another. You remember in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, it was Peter who was to be blamed because he wasn't standing up for the gospel. He wasn't living in proper conduct towards the gospel, and his behavior was wrong. Paul rebuked him. He was at fault. Now, what do you think that helped Peter to do and the rest of the community? Look more like Christ and to grow? We do that with one another. We do it through gentleness. We do it through meekness. We do it through patience. We teach one another. We help each other grow out of our misbehaviors and our misconduct, of our sinful activities. If you see sin in my life, pull me to the side and help correct me. Help me to get back on the path. How much would you have to hate a person if you see them in their life making bad decisions and you don't say something to them out of love and kindness? When we come together, hopefully we're growing together. And part of growing is receiving discipline and correction from one another. We act together. How powerful it is when you have an entire community working together, spreading the good news of the gospel. When everyone participates, when everyone joins, when everyone is engaged in sharing the gospel message, then it will spread rapidly, just like those dandelions, just like those flowers and those trees that we see in nature. That's how the gospel works. Jesus went from place to place. The early church went from place to place, from person to person, from family to family, from house to house, city to city, and they just sowed the seed. The breeze was the journey in their life, the path they took. Everywhere they went, they threw the seed, and it grew and multiplied. When we come together, let's reevaluate what we're doing. Let's look at our lives and see if we're sowing that seed as a community of believers. Do we believe in the sufficiency of the Bible, that this can spread far and wide? If we believe it, we treasure it, then we're going to end up declaring it. So alongside fellow believers, we demonstrate that this word can work. This is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16 and 17. This can work. It can do its job because that's what it's supposed to do. Let's make sure we're sowing that seed in this community, especially when we contact those people who visited us on Community Day. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe you have many questions. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I don't want you to leave still having those questions or not having the right kind of conclusions or answers to your questions. If you have any concerns and you have any hiccups or any hindrances to you accepting the gospel, not just us spreading it, but you receiving it, then ask those questions. Help us to try to address those. We would love to study with you. We would love to study alongside you. We'll meet you wherever you want us to meet you. Don't leave here with your questions being unanswered. Ask them. Ask them privately or ask them to some people here that you know are in leading figures. Maybe you're here and you realize, you know what, I've been a Christian for many years and I've never actually held a study with someone else. I've never actually facilitated church growth in trying to host or trying to invite someone who's not a Christian and study with them. Don't leave here still in that state of being. Change your life. Repent of that. Spread the good news. Learn to do it better. Whatever is obstructing your path from spreading the good news, tear down that wall. Push it over. Let the breeze blow it over. If you have any needs this morning, come forward as we stand and we sing.